We're going to take our text from Psalm 37, but we're going to read from Psalm 73, which, as you know, is a parallel psalm, and the thought in both is almost identical. One from David's perspective in Psalm 73, the Psalm of Asaph. Psalm 73. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone, my steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, their strength is firm, they are not in trouble as other men, and neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasses them about as a chain, and violence covers them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness, they have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt, they speak wickedly concerning oppression, they speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walks through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out of them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly, who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain, and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued, and chastened every morning. If I say, I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me, until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation, as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors, as a dream when one awakes. So, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart fails, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all his works. And now turning to Psalm 37. I have in mind the first seven verses, a rather lengthy text. I usually don't preach on that many verses at once, but we are this morning. Fret not yourself because of evildoers, neither be envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. From time to time in the last couple of weeks, in light of the many things that affect our lives, mine in particular and yours also from a general point of view as a congregation, my thoughts turn to Psalm 37. I told you before, my thoughts also turn to Psalm 55, that the Lord bears our burdens. But as I was contemplating Psalm 37, I thought it would be fitting for us to deal with that this morning. Now, there are several things that have affected us quite greatly. As I said a few moments ago, there is a colleague who has cancer, must have his leg amputated. That will change his life and our lives along with it drastically. And the Lord will do that. At the same time, a little girl among us had surgery successfully last Thursday. You and I know the various things that have taken hold of us as families that are rather difficult to deal with, that daily become a matter of prayer before our Father in heaven, and sometimes keep us awake even into the wee hours of the night. And oftentimes we ask, why? Why? Why must he go about on one leg when there's much in a wicked world that walks on two? Why are the difficulties that are pressed sore upon us when there seems so much joy and jubilation and rankest laughter in the world round about us? Why does it seem sometimes that the hand of the Lord is heavy upon us, and the wicked go by in this world almost unscathed? And you and I almost say what Asaph said in Psalm 73. We have washed our hands in innocency, and we have led a sanctified life, all for naught. And we too would almost approach the Lord and say, God, as our Heavenly Father, why must thy hand be so heavy on us? And why do the wicked go by unscathed? Why must we experience these depths of suffering? And why can the world in their foolishness have no bands in their death? And they go by joyfully in this life, and they have not a care in the world. Asaph, when he finally came to his senses in the sanctuary, understood that that's not the way to deal with the problem. We must not be envious at the wicked, the proud, those who seem to do well in this world. To do that is to be utterly foolish and to betray the people of God that before, through the ages, our forefathers have always trusted in God and have always found their abode in the living God. And when we are tempted to say that God has set himself against us, when we're tempted to be envious, when we come this close to being angry with God because of the things that he does in our lives, then we need to turn to the Word of God and we need to hear the truth of the matter. Because so often we would judge according to appearances and we don't have the whole picture in front of our mind. And if we do, and we must, then we will begin to understand the contrast that both Psalm 37 and Psalm 73 talk about. That just the little that the righteous hold is better than all the gold and silver of this world. To have the hand of God's care upon us and his grace beneath us is worth everything. And that even though the wicked seem to be prospered and they increase, guess what? God sets them in places that are slippery to cast them down into destruction. In a moment, they're desolate. Even as from a dream, one wakes up, says Asaph. There are three things in particular in these several verses that we have before us in Psalm 37 that grip me. Notice them with me. In verse 1, don't fret. In verse 3, trust in the Lord implicitly. And then you have in verse 7, rest in the Lord. Find peace in Him. So I want to consider with you a moment this morning the perspective of the Christian as far as this life is concerned. The Christian's life view. Notice first of all that we are tempted to see things wrong and to react. In the second place, let's understand that the reality of the situation must be taken hold of by faith, that we are the children of God, and that God does take care of us, and that there is nothing that can go wrong in our life. And finally, that place alone, right there, is where you and I find peace and encouragement to live our lives before the face of God. The Christian's life view, the temptation that sometimes we fall into, the reality of the matter, and finally the encouragement. As I said a few moments ago, Psalm 73 and Psalm 37 are written from the same perspective or viewpoint, if you will. The words are in the same vein. One of them is written by David, that's Psalm 37. The other one is written by Asaph, Psalm 73. Both of them were penned when David and Asaph were in distress, when they were distraught in a particular situation of life. Now, David is rather indefinite about those things that are affecting him, if you read Psalm 37. Asaph is more particular, and he points us concretely to the things that were bothering him. And that's why you have a more complete picture in Psalm 73 than you do in Psalm 37 as far as the things that bothered the psalmist or that bother the child of God from time to time. Asaph is very outspoken. He says the wicked prosper. They increase. There are no bands in their death. They even set their face against the heavens in defiance of God. And while they oppress the people of God, they are very quick to scorn God's people, and they say, "Does God know?" They aren't even afraid of the vengeance of the living God as they put their finger on the children of God in the midst of this world. And so Asaph sees all that, you understand, and he finally comes to the conclusion, before he enters into the sanctuary, he says, "I live a righteous life. I live as a child of God. I'm a Christian here below. I try to follow the precepts of God. I pray every day to walk that straight and narrow path. And it all seems to be for nothing, because the wicked do much better than I do." And he begins his complaint, as you know. He even goes beyond that. He says, "I am plagued. The Lord sometimes lays his hand very heavy on me. I don't find him doing that in the world. They go about in their merriment. And in the wee hours of the night, I can't sleep because the Lord plagues me and the Lord chastens me." Isn't that exactly where you and I are today and where we have been the last several weeks and where we will be in the weeks that are going to follow? Psalm 42, which of course points to our Lord Jesus Christ. "The waves and the billows of this life seem to roll over me." Why? Why? And then I begin to fret. And I begin to be discouraged. And I begin to be anxious. And the gnawing feeling of dissatisfaction enters into my soul. And it threatens to destroy me. when I compare myself with the world. And then I need a dose of reality. And that's exactly what you and I need, and that's exactly what you and I receive right here. Let's get the picture before us, shall we? Let's go in the sanctuary. We find comfort in church. But the idea is broader there. In church, we find the truth, which, by the way, is a large doctrinal truth, which talks about who God is, and about the work of God, and about the eternal election of God, and the providence of God, and the fatherhood of God, and the grace we have in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the fact that you and I are children saved by grace in Him. And then you see the picture begins to emerge. And then we find exactly what we find here to be so very true. Under the admonition, don't fret, don't be anxious, don't be full of despair, don't be angry with the Lord. And we feel how wrong that is. This is what David says. Don't do that. Why? Because these people are evildoers. And don't be envious against the workers of iniquity, because this is the truth of the matter. They shall soon be cut down like the grass, and they shall wither as the green herb. They are tenuous, like the grass of the field. They stand today, and they are cast into the oven tomorrow. Asaph. God sets them in slippery places. He fattens them up, so to speak, to cast them down into destruction. All their laughter, all their merriment, all their raucous immoral behavior will soon come to a stop. I often think of that when the Lord takes them out of this world and He puts them before His face in judgment. What an awakening. That's the truth with regard to the wicked. But that's negative. And that serves a purpose for us in this sense. Sometimes you and I are almost totally negative with regard to the things we have to endure in the midst of this world. And even with regard to the ungodly, we need to understand that God will deal with them. He will cast them into destruction. You and I don't have to do that. He will make them desolate as in a moment. You and I don't have to do that. We don't have to fill our hearts with envy and hatred. Vengeance belongs to me, says the Lord. I will recompense. Let's leave it there, beloved. Leave it there. The Lord will have His way. We don't have to feel obligated to straighten out and to be judge, jury, and executioner. God will do that. He already has. It's become positive. That's much more edifying. That's to the point. We are the children of the living God. God delights in us. God loves us. We are His dear children. We are the apple of His eye. He has pressed us to His bosom in the blood of His beloved Son. You want to know how dear you and I are to the living God? I've said many times, just stand before the cross and let the truth of the suffering, the death, the descension of our Lord Jesus Christ into the depths of hell, just let that sink into your soul and heart, and you will get a picture. And that's just the small beginning of the infinite depth of the love of God which He has for us in Christ. There you have it. whatever happens in this life. Don't ever doubt that. Whatever God brings to bear in your life and in my life, don't ever doubt. He is our Heavenly Father. He has redeemed us in the blood of Christ. He does deal with us as His children. And what does Jesus tell us? If we, as earthly parents, know how to give good gifts to our children, will God, in all His perfect knowledge, in all His providential care, will He not deal with us in His loving kindness and His mercy perfectly? And doesn't He know exactly what you and I need? And isn't His grace always sufficient? And doesn't He carry us through this life afterward to take us into glory? That's God's counsel, Asaph says. He leads me by His counsel afterward to take me into glory. He leads me into surgery. He leads me into treatment. He leads me into disease. He leads me into sickness. He leads me into grief. That's God, my Father, for Jesus' sake. That's Lord's Days 9 and 10. What do you believe when you say, I believe in God the Father Almighty? That the Almighty God, who is the Creator of the heavens and the earth, takes care of me. And that there is nothing that happens, not even a hair can fall from my head, except it be by His will. Not even an ant on the sidewalk, it is God's doing. Is there anything that God does not do? And He does it as our Father for Jesus' sake. And when the world is upside down, seemingly, and when the bottom falls out of your life and my life, that's the truth of the matter. It is God who brings into power. It is God who casts the vote. It is God who appoints cabinet members. It is God that the nations rage against. And He holds them in derision. It is God that affects your life, and God that affects my life. And God does all those things without fail from His fatherly love and His care over us in Jesus Christ our Lord. And then we begin to understand what David is talking about in verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord. You see how far removed that is from grumbling? You see how far removed that is from Asaph's complaining? You see how far removed that is from the negative to delight in the Lord? Not just when the wind is in our sails, not just when things go well for us from an earthly perspective. Delight in the Lord always. That means embrace God. Embrace God in all His plans for you. Embrace God in all His adversity that He sends our way. Embrace the living God. Why? Because He's our Father for Jesus' sake. And He makes no mistakes. And He leads us in a certain way onward to glory. Embrace that. Do you and I delight in God? When He sends difficulties our way? Or would we rather fret? You know the answer. Commit your way to the Lord, and He will bring it to pass. The Lord's way. In your life and my life, we need to commit to Him. That means that you take your burdens and your cares and your anxieties and literally you roll them upon the Lord. You take the monkey off your back and you put it on God. You take the burden from yourself and you put it on the Lord. and you commit your way to the Lord, the way which He has designed in all His eternal love and compassion to take us straight into glory. Delight in God. Commit your way unto the Lord. Psalm 55, cast your burden on the Lord, and He will care for you. Dwell in the land, and you will be fed. That may seem a little cryptic if you're not familiar with Old Testament typology, but this is the picture. Dwell in the land, which is a picture of heaven, and you will be fed, and God will take care of you. But don't forget, dwell in the land as those who are citizens of the heavenly kingdom. Dwell in the land, as we are told in Lord's Day 49, you can look that up sometime in your leisure, doing the will of the living God. That's the third petition. Doing the will of the living God, even as perfectly as the angels of God do it in heaven. In other words, you don't compromise the commandments of God. You walk in His way. You walk in His counsel. You walk in a sanctified and holy life. And there you will find the blessings of Jehovah God. You know, sometimes Christians make the mistake. They want to cheat the commandments of God a little bit in order that things may go well for them in this world. Countless examples. Cheat the Lord's Day. That'll help your finances. Disregard your family. That'll make God's covenant go well for you. Know the commandments of God and the will of God and the delight of the living God are followed by us. And in that way, we will bring our burdens to the Lord and He will take them from us. And in that way, we shall be fed and He will nourish and He will strengthen us and He will keep us as the apple of His eye. Things go well for us when we walk close to the Lord. And His grace will see us through. And His is the best. And His is the only way to glory. That means disease and He's there. That means surgery and He's there. That means treatment, and He's there. That means living a Christian life, and He'll never let us down. Rest in the Lord. That's wonderful, isn't it? That's the Lord's Day. No, that's heaven. Rest in the Lord. Trust in Him implicitly, and you will have a calm serenity and a peace that passes all understanding. You depart from the ways of the Lord, you'll fill your heart and soul with anxiety. Walk close to Him, and He will care for us, and we will have perfect rest in this life, where the waves and the billows sometimes roll over us. Until we get to our final rest in glory. Amen. Our Father and our God, we thank Thee for Thy word to us this morning. We need the encouragement. Lift us up. Teach us to walk close to Thee, not to fret, not to be anxious, most of all not to be angry with our Father in heaven, but to rejoice that Thou wilt see us through, that Thy grace is sufficient, and that Thy hand is always beneath, to sustain, to guide, and to direct always, all the way into heaven. Amen.